Good morning to each one. Greet you in Jesus' name. It's been good to be here with you all here this morning. I enjoyed the service thus far. In the devotions, I was challenged with seeking God's approval. That was what many people are seeking is the approval of those around them, but our minds were drawn to God this morning. And through the Sunday school lesson there, being a faithful servant, I'd like to continue that thought this morning, thinking of what God would want us to be and who we know. We know our personal makeup, what we're made of, and how we so often look through life through our own understanding, but how God would want us to see life. This morning, like to the title of the message is Walking as a Believer. Walking is following a course of action or a way of life. Believer is to have a firm conviction about something and accept it as truth. This morning, most of us here consider ourselves believers. And I trust we are. Scripture is full of many people who have walked with God. Noah walked with God, and God used him in a great way. But it talks about that faith that we heard just here in devotions about it. He had a faith in a God that was able to see him through. And God craved a relationship with those people. He knew they were trusting him and they depended on him. And that's where you and I need to be here this morning. As believers in 2017, to have that craving and following after God. We as people of God, many of us growing up in godly homes, we know the Word of God, the Bible, is the inspired Word of God. We have studied it. Sunday school classes. The children came up front here, were reciting Scripture, a powerful tool that they probably don't even fully comprehend. But these little verses are put in our minds from little on up. They say things in repetition in school, but little by little, those things take traction. And as they grow older, they ask more questions. Little children are honest with right where they're at in life. You see people and... well, you may have family, and the children come home and say, well, are they Christians? How do you answer that? Yeah, they maybe have been taught in the same church, same Sunday school class that you were in. But they haven't made practical application to Scripture in their everyday life. They have let things slip aside. Those questions are difficult to answer at times because children know and they see. But again, a person who is not making that practical application is not letting the Word of God take a hold of their life. Our children need to know that these people are not believers. Many tend to be aimlessly strolling through life, taking life in, you might say, in stride. Whatever comes, comes. And I know we have to. We all have to accept life sometimes as it comes. Don't get me wrong on that. But that careless view of life, only looking out for the here and now and ourselves, this is a very dangerous place to be. We see Joseph, he wasn't like that. He cared about others. He was willing to be used, even though in very unpleasant circumstances. So as we think of our walking as a believer, we need to take special attention to the pathway. We need to take heed to those around us. We need to be concerned what direction we're headed, the path is headed on, or where it's headed to. Is it running parallel with the world? Is it running parallel with our own selfish desires? Is it something that It's benefiting me more than the kingdom of God. Is it that place where I can find kinship with Jesus? Having that devotional life, having that relationship like Noah did, that he just walked with God. Like I said, it's easy to see the world around us and where people find themselves by their associates, by the people they're with, by what they like to talk about. How often in life, as we grow older, the Christian life is one of maturity. As you grow older, things need to fade away. Youthfulness has to find its place in history. But there's many people who try to drag that with throughout life. You know, this is what I enjoyed back here, and I'm going to continue to enjoy it. It's my right. Never growing. Never maturing. And Jesus wants us to mature. He wants us to, as we grow older, find that dear relationship with him. Enjoy talking about him and his kingdom. The Christian life, as we teach our little one, they need to realize it's more than just a way of life. It's more than just, this is what you always did, or this is the way we taught you. Yeah, little children can be taught not to steal. They can be taught not to lie, to respect others, to be kind, to be good stewards. But we need to take the time to explain why. We need to take them to Scripture and say, this is why. It's more than just being good moral people. So as they grow older, they feel, they sense that presence that, you know what, Jesus is calling them. That they want to be what mom and dad are. And they choose to walk on Jesus' path. When he calls them, it's a pleasant time. It's a blessed time. Each of us who were baptized and confess that Jesus, as our personal Savior, we stepped off our own path. We were walking on a path that we thought was right, but we said, Jesus, I'm going to walk on your path. But many people in today's world want Jesus to come to their path. They want Jesus to walk with them. But it's the wrong path. And they're not willing to submit and surrender their way for his way. And this can happen right in among us. It can happen because it's our human nature. I think of our baptismal vows. There's one, are you truly sorry for your past sins? And are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? That's stepping off of my path onto Jesus' path. We say, I am. Those desires from that carnal heart, I'm ready to give up, saying, God, I'm following you. I'm going to walk as a believer. I'm going to surrender my life to you. This morning we'd like to look at two different paths, two different walks we can walk on. We'd like to look at where a believer must not walk, then where he must. We'll turn to quite a few scriptures this morning. A lot of these have lots of truth in them that can be expounded on. But where a believer must not walk in, turn to John 8. John 8, verse 12. It says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Following Jesus, and walking in darkness. We were reminded that through the devotions here just a little bit ago. How those many people that were following Jesus were still in darkness. There was sin in their life. They were making deliberate choices. They were maybe had a lot of their sins hidden. But Jesus said, if you follow me, you're going to be walking the light. Have you ever tried to do a task in the dark? You might have had a battery light, and that light don't give you much of a warning besides a few beep and the lights go out. And you know, you're that close to finishing the job, you think you can do it yourself. I mean, it's routine enough, you think you can continue on. And you fumble around, you get frustrated, you can't find where you laid the nut or whatever it may be. It's very confusing. It's very frustrating, not only to yourselves, but maybe those around you. The job takes long. But in darkness, when we try to live for Jesus and have hidden sin, that darkness is very frustrating. It's very discouraging, not only to ourselves, but those around us. We try in vain, and because we're not in the light. We're not willing to open our lives and let that light of Jesus that he talks about here to penetrate. He said, you will walk in the light. You won't walk in that darkness. So believers must not walk in darkness. Have the light of light shining in our life, and that pure light that Jesus wants to give us. Romans 8, the second one. Romans 8, 1 to 4. Not walking after the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the flesh, spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, for the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here again we see two opposites, walking after the flesh or after the Spirit. Jesus don't want us to walk after the flesh. And those are many areas. It could be a different area for each one of us. To walk after the flesh. Another area is as the Gentiles in Ephesians 4 verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Not walking as sinful society. There's many things that they enjoy, that they are excited about, that they are pumped up about. I think this weekend, if I heard someone talk, it's a Super Bowl weekend. Something that is very, has many lives are wrapped around the Super Bowl. Much attention is given to it. There's a lot of, well, you can only imagine how the world looks at something like that. We as believers don't share the same interests. We are different. We are called out. And I believe that as we grow older, we need to teach. Maybe it just shows the carnality of my own heart as being younger and enjoying these things, but as we mature, are we teaching the next generation there is a better way? Society will offer it to them. They will talk about it. They will try to entice them and do whatever it takes to make it appealing. But we as fathers need to do our part in teaching the ways of the Gentiles, not ways of the believer. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. This is in craftiness. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We think of craftiness, we think of skillful deceit and trickery. And this is something that I believe most of us have been born with. Trying to make ourselves look better than what we really are. Trying to say things in the right way for our advantage. I don't know who's a salesman here and who ain't, and I'm glad I don't. But there are some good salesmen in this world. They can buy something off you and it wasn't worth too much, but they can turn around and sell and it's worth quite a bit. I know it's a business. But how do those things come over into the church life? How does it come into our Christian lives? Can we view things honestly? Can you see Joseph being crafty in the Sunday school lesson this morning? I don't think so. Colossians 3, 5 to 7. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometimes when ye lived in them. Here we see sin. We cannot be walking in sin. In Psalms 28, verse 13, it says, he who covereth his sin shall not prosper. There's many people who do not want to face the reality of their past. They want to just somehow sail over it and make it new. You know, I had a new beginning, but not going back or not clearing the sins that were in their life. Confessing. This morning, we cannot be living or walking in sin, having things that will haunt us. Yeah, there's times we do make things right. And the devil comes back. And he wants to say, you still got sin back here. You weren't who you claim you are. But if we have faced it, we can take it and say, but it's under the blood of Jesus. I have cleared it. And that's a blessing we have as we think of this thing when the devil does want us to tempt us with this sin. Second Corinthians 3. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 6 through 11. Here we see the believer should not walk in disorder, living idle lives, not being profitable. Verse 6 through 9. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother who walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which ye have received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with laboring and travail night and day, that ye might not be chargeable to any of you, Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we heard that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Walking disorderly. We know these people were, this church here that Paul was talking to, they were talking about the coming of Christ, and they were not, you know, he's coming again, and some were just waiting it out. They were going to see once when he comes, and they were becoming a bother and a burden to those around them. God wants us to be busy. He wants his church not to be living idle lives, but profiting others. So when you think of disorderly, we often think of little children. But little children, I'm learning, are often a reflection of who I am. Are we living our lives with others in focus? Not being a burden or a bother to those around us. Are we helping carrying the burdens of those in the community? There are many needs in the world around us. And what the community says about the neighbor might be true and might be right. But can they see you having a heart for him and protecting him and helping him, willing to extend yourself for that poor soul? Walking orderly, not disorderly. Second, we like to look at is where we are to walk, we as believers. And as we read these verses, I would like each of us as a believer to ask ourselves, is this where I'm walking? First of all, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light. Has the truth of God's word been part of your life? If it has been, and is, we have that light from within that can't be hid. It's something that will shine out. But if there's parts of our life that are still, you know, that are still ours, that light is dark. It is darkening. It's not. Our lives can eventually stink because, you know, it ain't the true light that Jesus wants to come from us. So we as believers need to walk in the light. Take the scripture and apply it daily to our life. Walking in truth, 3 John. Third John 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Having that everyday devotional life with our Lord, as we go throughout the day, meditating on the truth of God's word, whether it was preached on Sunday. You know, that phrase keeps coming back to you. It can be a simple thing as a song we sang, and it's an encouragement to you. And others, people know that you've been in a worship service, that to hear you reflecting back to Sunday. It was the truth. And we're enjoying walking in it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something we must do. Colossians 2, verse 6. When you walk in Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Those baptismal vows that we made. Yeah, we look back at them sometimes and thinking how who we were and what we were and what we all experienced and what we went through. but we need to look at it as a start. You know, we were beginning to walk with Christ. Has there been times we stumbled? Yes. But we get up again, and we ask the Lord for forgiveness. And it says, so walk ye in him. It's that continued. We know the pathway we want to be on, and we come back up to it, and we ask Christ to walk with us. Walking in Christ. Also walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5, 16 through 25. We know these verses very well. But between these two verses, well, it's Galatians. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then there's the whole list of sins. Gross sins. Some that we tend to so often, some of them we say we don't really know what they mean, but there's some in there that are very plain and clear for each one of us to understand. But if we are absent of the fruit, in verse 22 through 25, we fall back into these verses between 18 and 21. Verse 22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So often I as a human like to look at that. Yeah, I have that one, I have that one, I have that one. But either we have them all, or we don't have the fruit. We don't get to set these perimeters. We don't get to see which one that we can hang on to and the one we says, you know, I need to work on this one a while. Either we have it or we don't. It's a sin. And we as children, or we as believers, need to walk in the Spirit. Walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse 22. And this is so easy to see. You said there's a wedding coming up in this community or this congregation. I don't know who's getting married. But these are wonderful times. We see young love. When you see young people, it's all about a good life, which it is. But you know, the honeymoon comes to an end. Many of us as older ones are. I'm not older yet. I don't consider myself old, but I guess rapidly approaching that. But we know that life is real. There will be tests. There will be trials. There will be temptations to hang on to ourselves, to abandon this thought of love being in everything. But as believers, we need to walk in love. Let love, like the songwriter says, let love surround us. When we do that, it's a tremendous light to the world. Ephesians 5, verse 8. We need to walk as children of light. It goes very closely with what we said, the first one there. Walking as children of light. 1 John 2, verse 6. Is another one. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. We need to walk as Christ walked. What was his life? What was his ministry? What was he here doing? Was he making life comfortable for himself? Was he, well, we know how Christ walked. A few years ago, there was that popular saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? How often, that was a popular saying you've seen it everywhere. Bumper stickers, necklaces. But where are the people that had that? There were many of the people were so bold with it. But again, it comes down to the thing. where was the practical applications coming from? How were they applying the scripture? How were they applying Christ's walk to their life? But that hasn't changed for us, whether it's 20 years later. What would Jesus do? Am I walking as he walked? Am I following his commandments in 2 John verse 6? The commandments of Jesus. The scripture is full of commandments. This thou shalt do, this thou shalt not. And he gives command after command after command. Are we finding them pleasant to live by? Or are they grievous because we're looking at our own carnality, selfish desires? Are we walking by faith? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Where is our trust and confidence in this morning? We can put it in many things. The world around us looks for tangible things. They look for good investors. They look for ways that they can put their hands on, but that can be close to each one of us. How much faith do we have that Jesus will see us through, that he will faithfully provide for us, that he will take care of his people? Isaiah 31, verse 1 talks about how people put their confidence in horses and chariots and in, I can't say the list of everything that was there, but not in the living God, one who was what has proven through Scripture that he took care of his people. Is our faith that strong? Are we living here in America, in the land of plenty, in a land of ease, thinking that it's ours, that we couldn't live in some other part of the world? Yes, it would be adjustment because this is all I know. I'm not that old, and I haven't been around the world that far, but I do know that we are pampered here in America. But God wants us to live by faith. Are we trying to pull Jesus on our path? Are we willing to walk on his path and lay the cares of this, the many things that can be so good and so right, but saying, God, I walk with you on your path? And also, we as a believer must walk in good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And this good works needs to be a reflection of what Christ did for us, not what we are doing. It's because of the provisions he made that we can do this. It needs to be a result of what he's done for our life, we're not gaining our salvation through our good works. Then there's three worthies, where we need to walk worthy. Ephesians 4, verse 1. And in Colossians 1, verse 10, it talks about being walking worthy of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, it talks about walking worthy of God. When God called us, he called us to be a Christian. He didn't call us to be a Mennonite. He called you to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. And people are observing our lives. We heard about humility this morning. We hear about gentleness and patience and understanding and peacefulness. These are things that Christ was. These are something that when we do these things, we're walking worthy of the Lord. What do people think when they see you? Do they think of who your dad was, that you didn't fall far from the tree? And yeah, we have some things, traits we take with through life of who our parents are. But do they see the glory of God shining through our life as we walk worthy of God? So what picture are we painting for the world around us of our Lord? Next one was walk circumspectly. Ephesians 4 or Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means to carefully to consider all circumstances and consequences. To this side of the house, we as fathers, how careful are we walking? We know we live in a rapid changing world. There's many things that we cannot do nothing about. But are we walking carefully, considering the consequences of the choices we make? Our children will be a reflection of our own heart so often. Considering all circumstances, is it making them more a child of God? Is it drawing us closer to Him? Or is it drawing closer to our own tendencies, our own desires in the world? Walking in wisdom, Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Here we talk, seeing how Joseph was. He was walking in wisdom. He was pointing people to God, not by his own good, how he was brought up and the life he lived, but he was just that mirror and reflection of God. Walking in wisdom, saying, I don't have it, but God does. And being pleasing to God. He was pleasing to God. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye should abound more and more. Is our life pleasing to God? This is totally contrary to the world we live in, and again, to our own nature as well. But as we put off the old, and as we change our life to that new walk that Jesus wants us to walk. Walking on His path, not on mine. And as we shield ourselves and keep us from the evil of the world, being honest with our own lives, it gives us strength to go on and to walk with Him. This morning, where are you walking? Is it on the path Jesus made? Or is it the one that you want? It could be here. It could be someone here this morning who don't know what path they're on. We can rely on our own confidence and our good teaching that we had and still be unsure where we're at. Just living good lives. And maybe we need someone to walk beside us and say, where am I? Can you help me? Walk with them. There's many here who would love to walk with you if you don't know where you're at. But we need to talk. We as human beings, our lives are so fragile. And it just takes the little itty-bitty bumps of our own carnal heart that we met. We reason things out and we listen to our desires, and so gradually we become off that path that Jesus wants us to walk. But if we mind the Spirit, if we heed the Spirit, if we pay attention to those that are walking with us, that want to hem us back to Jesus' path, we will stay on that straight and narrow. Walking with Jesus is the only life that brings that lasting fulfillment. Everything in life will fade. Everything in the world around us will fade away. I always like what Scripture says in Genesis 25 about Enoch. I don't know what kind of walk Enoch was on, but he was walking with God, And it says, and he was not, for God took him. I don't know what path that was on. But there's another day coming that's very similar to that.